Nicole T. Walters is in the mudroom today with a secret about the writing life that you may not expect.
We belong to each other and we are not alone. And whatever you think is just your story or just matters to you, but it doesn't matter to anybody else, there is someone out there that is going to speak to them. And God is going to use that in ways that you can't imagine.
Welcome to the mudroom.
It might be a mess, but that's what it's here for.
Whatever junk you're carrying with you, you can leave it here.
However much of a mess you are today, the mudroom is here for you.
A place to drop off all the other selves we are constantly putting on and taking off.
A place to catch your breath as your soul catches up with you.
We don't have to be anything in the mudroom except our messy, marvelous selves.
So, have a seat.
Take a deep breath.
And enter in with us.
This is episode 6, The Secret to a Life of Words, with writer Nicole T. Walters. In the afterword of her masterpiece, The Bluest Eye, Toni Morrison describes the moment when, as she writes it, she knew beautiful, had imagined it for myself. Beauty was not simply something to behold, she wrote. It was something one could do. I will never pretend to understand the depth and breadth of Toni Morrison's words, but the beauty that she describes here that can somehow be simultaneously beheld and lived, it's the best way I know how to describe Nicole Walters' writing life. Beauty in both the passive observation and active living out of life threads her essays and reflections and prayers. Words written and spoken that give voice to deeper longings that we can't always articulate, these are the gifts that we open when we spend time in her spaces. We recently sat down with Nicole in an attempt, if that's actually even possible, to unwrap the gifts of her words and how she gives them to the wider world. So join Tammy Perlmutter, founder and curator of the Mudroom blog, and myself, Nicole Wu, a Mudroom writer and editor, as we delve deeper into the writing life of our sister, Nicole T. Walters. Nicole Walters, it is pure joy to have you sitting with us in the mudroom this morning. And you know, probably better than almost anybody, after having borne your heart and your soul at the mudroom for all the many years that you've been a regular contributor here, that when you're in the mudroom, you got to leave it here. So what layers are you shedding for us today?
That's a great question. I pick a word every year, and I guess I pick a word, or really I'd say God gives me a word that just kind of anchors me for the year. And my word for 2022 is explore. And I feel like that really just kind of explains where I am right now. My family moved home from South Asia 2 years ago. We lived in Bangladesh for 2 years and expected to be there for a while, and came home to really find home. It wasn't this homecoming we expected. Really, a lot of the life we had here just kind of felt like it dissipated, and here we were almost 40 and starting over. New jobs, new house, new life, and just really different family dynamics, different church dynamics, lots of things like that. And right when we felt like we were getting our footing, pandemic set in. And I felt like the rest of the world with the pandemic kind of experienced what we had been experiencing for those 2 years of that transition, because everybody was just plunged into this kind of unknown and grieving this world we thought we knew that just didn't exist anymore, and trying to find a new way forward in that. So I feel like we've all been in that limbo for the past 2 years. And I hope that we're all kind of trying to find a new way forward. There's still things to grieve and lament and work through, and a lot of things still going on with the pandemic, but we're having to forge on and find a new way forward. And I feel like that's really where I am right now. My writing has largely been scaled back the past year as I finished my master's degree in theology and worked full time and bought a house and all the things. So I'm just scaled back, and now I'm just kind of exploring what's next. I'm still taking some classes. I'm considering if doctoral work's in my future. I'm in a new church and just figuring out how best to use my gifts there. So I just really feel like I'm in this place of kind of venturing out into new territory and figuring out what that landscape's going to look like in the next season. And I just feel like a lot of people probably relate to that, because the whole world's kind of in that space right now.
Collective liminal space, for sure. And I have to add that you recently wrote a piece on your own blog, NicoleWalters.com, about just that. It's called Stepping Out Afraid, and we'll put that link in the show notes. It really beautifully illustrates where you are right now and how you come to that word, explore.
So, Nicole, I think you have been with the mudroom almost since the beginning. Can you tell us how you discovered the mudroom and how that happened?
Yeah. So I don't remember a time when I wasn't writing in some way. As a kid, I wrote. I was an avid reader. I wrote stories and poetry as a kid, but I never really dreamed of becoming a writer, which professionally, I guess, is kind of a good thing because a lot of us know how difficult that can be to make that your full-time job. But I always had this desire to do it and to really write again. It's like I put it down for the real work when I started working and having a family and things like that. And then I had people encouraging me to write, my husband, my friends, like do a blog, something like that. And I didn't want to do it. I always did it for me. I didn't really think it was anything I ever really wanted to put out into the world, but I would read things out there. And Mudroom was one of the things I would read. And I have no idea how I found it. I feel like God just popped in my lap because I don't remember how I stumbled upon the mudroom. I was reading a lot of writers, I think, that were at the mudroom at the time, Heather Cleary, Esther Emery, people like that. And it just kind of led me to the mudroom. And I remember I was doing a project. I was doing a lot of writing for other people. I was ghostwriting for a pastor that I worked for and doing things for his blog and didn't really want to do anything of my own. But someone contacted me to do a story for the pastor I worked for. And I did all the research for this person writing the story, this freelance writer, and I sent it to her. And she wrote back and said, well, someone should be a writer. To me, it was like that moment of, okay, your friends can say you're a good writer and you don't really believe it. But when a real writer tells you, like, okay, I'm going to do this. And so I just built my own website. I just did this little blog. And that was when blogs were still a bigger thing, I guess. And I just started pitching things and remember pitching a piece to the mudroom and I got rejected. And so I put it on my blog and I pitched again the next month and it got accepted and I couldn't believe it. And I worked with an editor for that. I think I did like 3 drafts on that piece and it felt like such hard work pulling it and changing it. And I thought, what have I got myself into? I can't do this all the time. But the editing part got easier as I learned more. And I just stuck around. I told Tammy earlier, I said, I just submitted every month to the mudroom because I loved it so much and I wanted to be a part of it. And I think I just submitted until they realized I wasn't going to go anywhere.
Tenacity, right, Nicole? And it's interesting because I feel like in the writing journey, sometimes when you submit somewhere and get rejected, that actually is the catalyst for making you a better writer. And it sounds like that's what was happening here.
Absolutely. I remember when I started pitching other places, I think the first piece I got somewhere besides any sort of collaborative blog or somebody else's blog was I had pitched it to Christianity Today and it got rejected. And so I pitched to Relevant and it got accepted. It's like, I never let a piece be wasted. If something got rejected, it's like, I'm going to find a place for this. I worked so hard on this. I want to find a place. So I never take rejection. I mean, it's hard, but it's like, it's just a redirection for me. Like I'm going to find a home for this piece.
So along those lines, who or what have been the biggest influences in shaping you as a writer? You've talked a little bit about how you stepped into writing, but could you talk to us a little bit about those influences?
That writer that kind of spurred me on and said, you should do this. She was a member of the Redbud Writers Guild, which is all women Christian writers and speakers. And so I just started looking at all of those writers and reading them and seeing what they were doing. And a lot of them, there was a lot of overlap. A lot of Redbud writers wrote for Mudroom and then also for She Loves Magazine, which was another collaborative blog at the time. And I started submitting there as well. And really those 3 places are what shaped me. All these Christian women that were really diverse, didn't have the same theological beliefs, didn't have the same backgrounds or anything like that, but just there was this community. And I think I expected there to be a lot of competition between writers. And I don't know how it is more in the secular writing world, but at least in the world of like faith writers, I didn't find that at all. I found it was just encouragement. And I'm going to share what I have to, you know, share with you the Red Bud Writers Guild had this pitching club. We had this private Facebook group for anybody that wants to submit pieces out there. And we would say, this is how many pieces I want to pitch. Or we would bounce ideas off each other. And I mean, that's what gave me the courage to do it. I didn't have any idea how to write a pitch email to tell an editor, this is who I am and this is what I want to write. And they actually just sent us this format of do it this way. And I literally used that format every time I pitched for like the first three or four times until I got the hang of it. And then all the editing process at the Mudroom and She Loves, just connecting with editors like Heather Colleary, Ashley Hales, Idalette McVicker at She Loves, Leah Abraham at She Loves, people that just would pour everything they had into you and not hold it back. There was no feeling of scarcity of, oh, well, I want to write this piece. It was like, there was always enough to go around. And that just really, that whole online community we built was just, I mean, it shaped everything for me.
Yeah, the collegiality in the space is pretty incredible. Speaking of, Tammy's got a question for you next.
So Nicole, you have, I think, written for the Mudroom for about 6 years.
Yeah.
And you have been just one of my favorite people to write there. And you and your sister, Amanda Tingle Taylor, have also been administrators, managing editors for the Mudroom. What would you say is the best thing about writing for the Mudroom and the most difficult thing about writing for the Mudroom?
The best thing, again, it's just kind of that community. Even when I'm not working with an editor, I'm just putting a piece up, just the people responding and encouraging each other. We have a private Facebook for people that write there, and everybody's always encouraging and commenting and sharing the pieces. So it just feels like we're not writing in a vacuum. We're not over here doing this alone. It's part of being that community that really matters to me. Hardest thing. I think writing for a theme at first was hard, but I have done it so long that I've gotten, I really feel like I have to like switch my brain to write a different way now. So I've gotten so used to it. But at first it was really difficult thinking, I would look at other people's pieces when they had responded to a theme and go, well, why didn't I think of that? You know, but then it just really got to be beautiful of how that one little word or image sparks different things in different people. And that's a lovely thing about it too, is that we all approach this one idea in from very different ways. And it's so interesting to see what that word brings up in different people.
So expanding a little bit on that, Nicole, can you tell us more about that theme writing process? Because you have been at this for a very long time. So how do you go from a blank screen, which can be very intimidating for a lot of people, to one that's filled with deep and beautiful words? And I have to add that your words move me like few other people's do. So tell us a little bit more about that process.
I think for me, it goes back to when I kind of shifted as a kid from writing a lot of fiction and poetry and things like that to when I came to faith when I was a teenager. I was journaling a lot. And of course, then it was, I think, as a lot of girls do, writing in a diary and things that I could not possibly read now. It would be so embarrassed. But I started writing I started journaling when I would read the Bible. I was 14. I had no idea what the Bible was about. I had no idea who Jesus was. So I would just start writing it down. And I found that I would start writing my prayers to God that way. And it felt more genuine and raw and authentic when I would write my prayers than when I would try to pray in my head, and I would get distracted and just get off on a tangent and just forget what I was doing. And so nonfiction writing and this kind of writing to me, it feels like a continuation of that, almost like writing is prayer. I'm not necessarily writing to God in my journal anymore, but it's this sense of finding the holy in everything and just looking for God and the way God has worked and is working in life and what's going on. So it's not even this conscious effort of engaging with God, but it's, I feel like that's there. So if you've ever practiced centering prayer or anything like that and focusing on a word to bring you back, I feel like that's kind of how I approach the process of writing for a theme. I just focus on that word and just meditate on that and see what arises in me. Sometimes it's actually a quiet moment of me sitting and thinking about the theme and just seeing what pops up in my thoughts. And sometimes I just, nothing comes, and I'll just keep that theme in the back of my mind as I go throughout my day and just kind of mull it over and think about it and see if something sparks an idea. And so I started a practice a few years ago where I would walk around and just ask God to bring people's faces to mind when I was praying. You know, like I just, again, didn't want to feel like I was writing from a list, praying from a list or anything like that. And so people's faces would just pop into my mind. And I feel like it's a lot like that. Like sometimes a quote that I've read recently will pop into my mind, or a scripture, or just a story from my past, something that relates to that theme or something that's going on presently in our culture or my life. It's just like something that'll pop into my head and I go, okay, that's it. Like that's God giving me the idea. And so a lot of times I sit down with just maybe an image or one or two ideas, and I really don't know what the piece is going to be. I just start with one idea or two little sparks, and I'm really surprised by what comes out. And so it's really just kind of writing to figure out what I think about that idea. But I have found that one thing when I get stuck or I really don't know, that I found a few years ago was really useful, was I would be writing a piece and I would want to refer back to a quote or something I'd read recently, and I had no idea what it was or couldn't find it. And so I started a spreadsheet where anything I'm reading that's, you know, that's related, that's not academic things or things like that, but anything I'm reading for my spiritual life or just even fiction, anything, I just mark everything down. I highlight my books, and then I go down afterwards and I write or type up my notes. I type up quotes and just a few themes of that quote and, you know, what book it was from. And so sometimes when I get stuck with a theme, I'll sit down with that spreadsheet and just look for that word, the word the theme is on or something related to it. And a quote will spark something in me, and I'll use that as kind of my starting point. So sometimes I'll sit down with a quote from another author, and then that'll spark something that just God takes on, and it just takes on its own life, I guess.
So writers and spreadsheets, I don't usually think about using them in the same sentence, but when I think about Nicole Walters, that actually makes complete sense to me. So Nicole, could you speak more to your editing process? You write a piece, you churn that out, and then do you step away for a couple days, or do you edit and write all in one sitting? What does that normally look like for you?
I do usually, if I have time, if I'm not right up on my deadline, like I sometimes get to do, for a few days, but if not, I'll step away for a while at least. And I usually try to sit in one sitting and just get it out, just get all my thoughts out on the page. And that is not what's going to be the end result. For sure, hard times with titles and really hard times with endings. And so a lot of times it takes me till that second pass at least to get my ending, or my ending will end up being my beginning. And I move things around a lot in that second pass through. It's really getting the thoughts from just this jumbled that I just kind of got out on the page into something cohesive. And then I'll usually walk away again and do the kind of not as fun editing of fixing all the grammar and all that kind of things that I often still miss pieces on. But yeah, I definitely have to walk away and come back and go, like I said, that first pass is really just me figuring out what I'm thinking. And so then definitely have to refine it and everything the second time around.
Tammy and Nicole, what would we do without word processors? I think about writers in the last century plus, and how did they do that? And they were clearly even more brilliant than we think they were, doing this without the ability to move paragraphs around.
Grammarly and all the things.
Spell check. And on that note, Nicole, do you have any final words for people that are listening here that are maybe just getting started in the writing journey? Maybe some words of encouragement for them or thoughts to help them to press on in it, because it isn't an easy process, especially when you're first getting started.
It isn't. I think for me, I've gotten a lot more comfortable in my own skin along the way as I have tried to worry less about what people think of what I put out there, but also considering the reader. And that's a hard tension. You know, you don't want to worry about reactions or the comments or, you know, pushback, but you also, a lot of writing for me has just been, it's my story. I can only write my story and how I interact with a theme or how, what something God says to me. But I'm also thinking of how other people receive that. And when somebody responds back and says, oh, this spoke to me so much, it's just such an affirmation of we belong to each other and we are not alone. And whatever you think is just your story or just matters to you, but it doesn't matter to anybody else, there is someone out there that is going to speak to them. And God is going to use that in ways that you can't imagine. So if it feels like no one is out there receiving anything, or there's no comments you receive back or anything like that, just trust. I actually got someone posted on Instagram the other day about a piece I wrote 2 years ago for She Loves, and they posted about it and how meaningful that was to their prayer life. And that piece was 2 years old, and it just meant so much to me. Of like, you don't know the life that it takes on when it's out there. Just trust that it's going to matter to who it matters to, and it's going to make a difference. Just keep going.
Nicole, we're so glad you were able to join us today. We're really thankful for your voice and your heart. You've just been such an important part of the Mudroom. And thank you so much for sharing your words with us and your vision. And thanks for just meeting with us today and telling us about how writing works for you. And it's encouraging to hear, and it's inspiring as well. So thank you so much for being here with us.
Absolutely. I love you guys. I love this community, and I love pouring into other writers. That all that stuff that everybody's given me along the way, I don't feel like I have a whole lot to offer, but you know, whatever I have, I'm going to hold it out. You know, it's not mine. So I just want to, if anybody wants to come to me with questions, with anything, I'm always happy to just help each other.
Oh no, you have so much to offer. And Tammy and I are among the many touched by your generosity and your beautiful words. So thank you so much, Nicole, for sharing a bit of your writing life with us here at the Mudroom today. We are deeply grateful.
We just help each other along the way.
We do. We don't do this journey alone, do we? Thanks for joining us today. The Mudroom Podcast is a production of the Mudroom Blog. It's executive produced by Tammy Perlmutter. It's produced, written, and edited by Nicole Wu. A very special thanks to recording artist Krista Wells for our theme song, More Than I Am. Graphic design by Amanda Tingle Taylor. For more on the Mudroom, a place for stories emerging in the midst of the mess, visit mudroomblog.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Check out Nicole Walter's most recent writing at the Mudroom, a piece called Grace in the Middle, and the accompanying podcast where she narrates her piece and goes more in depth into living life in liminal spaces. Look for her at NicoleTWalters.com or find her on the socials. We'll see you next time here at the Mudroom. Stay close. You've meant to me how we need each other. We are sisters and brothers, our islands are great to visit, but I have found we aren't meant to live apart. I thank the one who sent you, cause he knows how much you've meant to me, how we need each other. We are sisters and brothers, our islands are great to visit, but I have found we aren't meant to live apart. You make me more than I am.